Blog Talk Radio.
Transformed on the Blog Talk Radio Network. The World Transformed is an audio production of Speculist Media, and you can find us online at worldtransformed.com. This program explores a convergence of emerging technologies and emerging possibilities which are at the heart of this, the greatest period of transformation in human history. Our world is changing in ways that are difficult to predict, sometimes even difficult to imagine. And the World Transformed is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead. One that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. We're not here so much to tell you about the future as we are to encourage you to think about your future and to consider what may be the biggest transformation of them all, the one that will occur in your world, in your life, the one that begins with recognizing and acting on the vast possibilities that are unfolding before you and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does that amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great also. Looking forward to a great show tonight.
Well, we've got a fun one lined up, one of our favorite guests, one of our favorite topics. It's hard to beat that. I just want to note that we've got a lot of good traffic going on the Facebook page. I appreciate everyone's stopping by and giving us a like at Facebook/WorldTransformed, and keep them coming. We're trying to provide a lot of updates there, so we appreciate the growing Facebook community. We'll have to decide if we're going to do anything, you know, elsewhere. Maybe Google Plus, maybe LinkedIn. I don't know. I spend a lot of time on Facebook, so that seems to be the natural and obvious one.
Yeah, I'm myself as well. I've done some Google Plus, but it seems like I always seem to come back to Facebook. So maybe that's the right place for now.
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen those breakdown jokes where they talk about if you post here, it means you're this. If you post there, it means you're this. And the one for Google Plus, it always says, you know, it's like if you like donuts, right, you put it on Twitter. And if you want your mom to know you like donuts, you put it on Facebook. And if you work at Google and you like donuts, you put it on Google Plus. I don't think that's entirely fair. I don't think that's true. I think a lot of people use Google Plus beyond the Google employees. But, in fact, even if it was just Google employees, that's a pretty good group. You want to reach those people, you know. That's not a bad
crowd there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Great crowd.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, I think without any further ado, we've got an awful lot of ground to cover, so we're just going to go ahead and bring out our guest. Christine Peterson is a visionary and pioneer, a true transformer of the world. She writes, lectures, and briefs the media on coming powerful technologies, especially nanotechnology and life extension. She's a co-founder and past president of the Foresight Institute and chair of the Personalized Life Extension Conference Series and the driving force behind healthactivator.com, which we'll be talking about this evening. She's also a pioneer in the open source software movement and the coiner of the term open source. I should add that Christine was also one of the first people I ever interviewed at The Speculist and was one of our first guests ever on Fast Forward Radio. So, Christine, I got to tell you, we are delighted to welcome you as the first guest ever on The World Transformed.
Well, this is great, Phil, and I'm always glad to be on the show, and I don't care what you call it. It's a great show, and great to see you also, Stephen, online.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Well, it's wonderful to have you with us. And, you know, speaking of name changes, why don't we start out with this? We're witnessing an interesting evolution occurring here from the Personalized Life Extension Conference Series to Health Activator. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Yeah, you know, we've done a couple of conferences under the name Personalized Life Extension, and because that is, I think, our primary focus is longevity, in the sense that the goal is to lengthen your health span. In other words, how long will you be healthy? That's what we all want. We want a longer health span. But we found the term life extension is kind of limiting. Also, it kind of confuses people because some of them are more familiar with the Life Extension Foundation, so they were getting a little confused. And plus, we wanted to broaden it out a little bit because it turns out that things like general performance and brain fitness are great indicators of longevity, and they're things that you can often measure right now. So rather than just talk about life extension, we wanted to make it a bit broader and include these other topics that are more immediate and also perhaps more measurable right now. So that's behind the name change, and I think we've launched the new site. We're starting our new online video conferences next month, and we're starting our free video series on Saturday.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that. Now, I was just scrolling through, and it's a great lineup of videos. These are actually all the or some subset of the presentations from the last Personalized Life Extension conference.
That's right. These are all the presentations. So all the talks from the last Personalized Life Extension conference are going to be shown. Two or three per day starting January 19th, which is Saturday through the 28th.
Well, it is a huge lineup of stuff, an amazing lineup of individuals that you have presenting this this information to. And we'll scroll through some of that here in a few minutes and talk about some of those talks. And this is provided absolutely free.
That's right. Yep. Just go to our homepage. Healthactivator.com and put your email address in and we can send you the access details.
And what does that say about the future of the conference series? Will it be an online series from now on, or there's no connection between the fact that this one's being offered for free online and the next one will still be a seated seminar, or am I drawing conclusions where I shouldn't?
We're getting demand for both formats.
Mm-hmm.
So the current plan is to start out the year 2013 with online video conferences. And these are kind of different from the old webinar format where you see a PowerPoint slide and you hear a disembodied audio voice, usually pretty low quality. Those, I never enjoyed those. I found them, it's not engaging.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately the technology has moved on and we all love that when that happens. So now the new technology is more of a video conferencing deal where you can have up to 12 people on video. The audio quality is much better, and anyone can show their screen and can upload content and share it with anybody else. So it's much more interactive, we hope, and we're kind of experimenting. This is pretty cutting-edge technology. But we're going to take a shot at it because our audience loves cutting edge technology.
Well, absolutely, it's the right group for that, and it goes to show you how nicely things have moved along. That you can provide an online forum that really does give true interactivity and really gives people the ability to participate in much the same way that they would if they were to fly several hundred miles and go through all that expense and logistical difficulty, but not even have to leave their home.
Well, we hope so. I think it will probably take people a little bit of practice to get really good at sharing their screen, but it's just a matter of time before we all learn to do this, just like we all learn to use things like Skype and the technology we're using now. So I think, especially with the IQ level of our audience, we will get up to speed, and it will work.
Absolutely. Well, we were just saying before the show started that we're, as a group, We're still learning how to use this Blog Talk Radio technology. I'm getting a little practice in myself this evening, so hopefully all goes well with that. Well, I think it's great. I think the move to Health Activator is a very smart move, and I think that you're putting your focus in exactly the right direction. You know, for those of us who think about these things all the time, and who really pay attention to these issues, it can be surprising how far a lot of people need to go. I mean, how much prompting sometimes they need in order to understand even what's being discussed. I put this picture up on the World Transformed page the other day. It was Maria Konovalenko in Moscow standing in front of the Kremlin, and she's holding up a sign that says, aging is a curable disease. Now, there's a great picture. It's just a wonderful shot of the Kremlin and of Maria and her sign. And I put that up and shared it there and got some interesting discussion going there and shared it on my own personal timeline. And a friend of mine came back and said, well, yeah, but the disease is better than the cure. And so, you know, we got into this interesting discussion. I said, well, you know, I'm not sure I agree with that, seeing as the disease involves the loss of mental faculties, loss of, motor skills, you know, all the things that we associate with this kind of degeneration and aging. And she wrote back, yeah, but the cure is death. And I said, no, that's not what we're talking about at all. This is not a person standing in front of the Kremlin advocating death. Okay. That's not what we're talking about at all. And I think that, you run into a similar problem, not quite as dramatic, but a similar problem with the phrase life extension, when people have this image in their head of prolonging senescence, right? Which is the which is what often happens when people have reached a point of deterioration that's not going to be recovered from, and yet they, you know, medical science has grown to the point where it can keep them going, and they think that's what you mean by life extension, that we're talking about just keeping bodies warm for a longer period of time, whereas Health Activator, that really gets the point across. You're talking about extending the health span of the individual. You're talking about finding what makes for a healthy life, and if you make that happen correctly, then is this right? Then life extension is going to come along for the ride.
Well, that's right, Phil. I mean, the fact is, healthy people don't die. If you're really healthy, you don't die. So and we find people actually, as you were pointing out, have a terrible time. Most people have a terrible time. They can't imagine having your age number, that number of years, go up, and yet not becoming decrepit. They just, it is unimaginable to them. So, that's why terms like life extension are problematic. Hardly anyone is able to wrap their heads around the idea of anti-aging. I think the audience listening tonight is probably fine with it, but this is an unusual crowd, and the vast majority of folks just simply cannot get this concept. But talking about health is something they can understand, and it does lead them in the right direction. So we're going to go with that.
Absolutely.
We have in the audience, or in the chat room here, they're asking specifics about some of the people that are involved in the conference, Christine. What can you share? Who so far has been involved?
Now, are you talking about the ones we're showing very soon?
Yeah, like on the Saturday show.
Great. Well, I think what I'll do is just I'm just going to go to our homepage here, and I will scroll down. And we'll just go through some of the big names. I mean, there's too many to go through completely, so we won't do that. But just to pick a few names here.
You know, the first name I see when I read the list is Christine Peterson. So, I mean,
yeah, I usually do the introduction, but
didn't get much bigger than that.
Give some tips about how not to get overwhelmed with the volume of information that's coming at people. But our first well-known speaker in the health space is Dr. Terry Grossman, who this listenership that we're with today will probably know is a co-author with Ray Kurzweil. on a couple of longevity books. So Terry has, for our first two conferences, he was the top-rated speaker. Everybody loves to hear from Terry, and it's partly because his interests are so broad. He can cover just about any topic you want to have covered. For this coming year, 2013, I have asked him to cover supplements, and the main reason is that it's such a challenging topic that we really need all the help we can get. And it's not Terry's favorite topic. He's talked about it so many times, he's ready to move on, but I begged him, and he came through. So Terry, it doesn't really matter what topic he takes on, he's always fantastic.
Terry is great. We've had him on our program a couple of times, and always a terrific guest. Very, very interesting gentleman,
right.
And as you said, extremely knowledgeable.
That's right. So our second speaker, I'm getting some noise.
Yeah, getting a little bit of an echo. Nobody has their computer turned onto the show right now, do they? We get a delay, and sometimes that causes an echo when that's
all
happening.
All right. I'll just ignore it. So Dr. Lynn Miel was another speaker. She's featured on videos. She talks about hormones, and your audience probably knows signaling molecules in the body. They're very powerful. And what happens as we get a little older, sometimes starting in our 30s, is that these hormones get out of balance. Basically, the various hormone levels often decline, sometimes, as I said, starting very young. So basically, they need to be brought back where they're supposed to be. And this is, some people have this idea that this is for women only. This is not true. Both men and women need to have this checked out. And another key thing is that another key point Dr. Mielke makes, and she does it much better than I can, is that when you're dealing with synthetic hormones, usually the drug companies are making them a little different from natural hormones so they can be patented, which makes perfect sense from a commercial point of view, but from the point of view of your body, it's a very bad idea. What you want for your body are the exact same hormones, the exact same chemical structure, as the hormones your body would be producing if it was in a healthier state. Now, I think our audience is technical enough to understand that, you know, a molecule has a certain shape and is made out of certain atoms, and it has to exactly be the same if you want it to function the same. Otherwise, it will not.
Right, right.
So if you're taking a patented hormone, you have to find out what's wrong with it. Why was this patentable? Okay? Odds are there's a problem. So you want what she calls bioidentical hormones. Next up, we have, go ahead.
Just before we move on from that, because that's really interesting, and the bioidentical ones would be chemically identical, is that right? Or
that is correct. They have to be absolutely chemically identical. Otherwise, it's not a good idea. Now, I suppose if for some reason the chemically identical hormone was not available, we might have to try to find something else, but generally, what you want is exactly what your body would be producing if it could do so.
And that's what's interesting about that is that speaks to the difference, I think, between just trying to take care of your health, which we all do to some extent or another, and kind of taking it to the next level, which is what the personalized Life Extension Conference series did, and what Health Activator seems to be doing, which is really trying to understand what's going on. Because I think most people, you know, you go to your doctor and they say, well, you need this hormone, and the doctor's going to prescribe something, and you think, okay, well, I needed it, and now I'm doing what I need to take care of my body. And the point is, no, there's more to be considered than even what your doctor might tell you, and even what a pharmaceutical company might be saying is the right way to go about getting your correct level of hormone.
Well, that's right, Phil. And I'm a big believer in the free market, and I've taken plenty of pharmaceutical drugs in my time when they're needed. But the fact is that the way the system is set up, they can only make reasonable profits when they're not selling things that are more natural in the sense of things that your body makes. So if you're leaning in the direction of trying to tweak your body in a healthier way, you're going to want to add these natural substances, and they can't be patented. So you aren't, you know, they are not prescription. Generally, they're generally not prescription, a lot of them. So
right.
Others, if they are prescription, they may be only available from compounding pharmacies, not from the major drug companies. So it kind of pushes you in a direction to be slightly more skeptical of the big pharma. Again, not to badmouth them. They're doing the best they can in the situation they're in. Another point it's worth making is most doctors do not take these perspectives. They are not about optimizing your body necessarily. They were taught a certain way to practice medicine, and it's pretty heavily reliant on big pharma, and it's not really about optimizing health the way that we would come at it. So one of the big things we talk about, whether our conferences are in person or online, is how do you find these doctors? How do you find physicians who will help you move in this direction with your health rather than the traditional, you know, just barely holding things together style of medicine that is so often practiced?
Right. That's huge. And, you know, I noted that in the free ebook that you've made available via the site. One of the first items that's discussed in there, and something that I've heard you talk about before, is that, for example, what might be viewed as a completely clean bill of health from a standard regular practitioner of medicine, in terms of you get your blood levels back and it says, hey, everything's normal, you can go, great, I'm awesome. And actually, there's probably a lot more to it than that.
Well, that's true. The ranges, when you get those blood reports back, they show a range. And if you're within that range, it doesn't highlight any problem. But it turns out that those ranges are often overly broad. They don't really represent a true healthy optimum range. They're more like a typical range, which includes all kinds of people in this group who may not be very healthy. So often when you look at these blood tests, you have to ask, look, where do I really want to be here? Am I where I want to be? Am I at the best place? Or am I just barely within range of normal, which includes a lot of unhealthy folks? So, and I hate to have to point it out, but most physicians really are not they're not raising the bar to the extent that, you know, listeners of this show are going to want to do. And it's not so much their fault in some sense. They're under tremendous pressure. They haven't been educated to take this perspective. So they're doing the best they can given the constraints they're under, including insurance companies and what they will pay for. So one of the lessons you learn the more you get into this is that you don't want to limit your health practices based on what insurance companies will pay for. And if you do choose to use that as your guide, you are going to miss out.
Right.
What you're talking about really is is part of, I guess, the quantified self movement in a way. It's taking a proactive stance or involving your health. Do you see some key technology coming our way pretty soon that's going to give us some help with this? Because what you're talking about, it could almost be a full-time job just taking care of yourself.
Well, that's very true. It can be a full-time job. And one of the things we do talk about at our conferences is how do you get the time commitment down? There are devices and gadgets that can be helpful, and I'm a big fan of devices and gadgets when they do something exciting for me. One of my favorites has been, in the past, the Zio Sleep Monitor. Many, many people have sleep problems, and hardly anybody has taken the trouble to optimize their sleep, and the payoffs from doing that are huge. And the Zeo Sleep Monitor is a great tool for doing that. It's just a thing you wear on your around your head, on your a little measuring thing on your forehead, and it communicates wirelessly with either your smartphone or a bedside device, and it measures the various stages of sleep and how the quality and quantity of your sleep. And then you can use that to do sleep experiments to find out, hey, you know, is that cup of coffee that I have at dinner really causing me some trouble? And I found out, yeah, actually it was. So, you know, and the only way to find that out really is to do a little, is to use a device. So I really like my Zeo Sleep Monitor. Another great device that is available now is from a company called HeartMath. And what it does is it measures heart rate variability. And it turns out this is a very important thing to track and to try to improve. And what I use it for, though, which is great, is many of us know that for our health we're supposed to meditate. We know this. However,
right.
we do not meditate. The vast majority of us do not do it. And one reason is that it's very hard to know whether you're doing it right at any given time. It's actually pretty hard to get yourself to be doing the right thing and be sure that you're doing it right. And it turns out the HeartMath device can help you do that and give you a very clear audio signal saying, hey, you know, you're either in or you're not in the right space right now. So I find it very useful because I'm one of those people who has trouble meditating. I need all the help I can get. And this device makes it so easy to know that I'm doing it right or that I need to stop thinking about Health Activator for a minute and stop, you know, just empty my mind in the way you do when you meditate. So there's all kinds of these great devices and more coming out every day. And we do try to give reviews of them at our conferences, whether online or in person.
You know, it's old truism in the business world. I used to manage process improvement teams and quality improvement teams and those kinds of things. And one of the things we always said was you can't improve what you don't measure. And when you think about it, people have internalized that to the extent that when they think about exercise, right? I don't think anybody goes to the gym and just lifts weights and doesn't think about what they did last time or what they're going to do next time, you know, completely out of context and just goes and lifts weights anymore. People kind of keep track of what they've been doing because there's, you know, there's some or like you wouldn't go out and just run and not think about how long or how far or any of those kinds of things. So where exercise is concerned, people have gotten better and better about recording data and using that data as a means of improving their performance and seeing that improvement in performance as an improvement in health. And what we're learning is that anything you want to improve, there's now probably some good way of taking a measurement of getting data on that and using that data to help push you in the right direction.
That's exactly right. We're learning to measure more and more things, and that includes getting your blood work done, getting your DNA read, getting your telomeres measured, all these things. So a lot of it is it's that quantified self-movement that was mentioned earlier. We are more and more realizing, as you said, if you want to improve something, you've got to get some numbers, and then you can, once you have those numbers, you can tweak them in the direction that you want. No, I'm not saying that it's easy, but that's the way to do it. Now, there are aspects of our lives that are very hard to quantify, and it turns out some of them do have major health effects. We did have a talk at the last conference, and it will be on the free video series, by a person at Stanford by the name of Fred Luskin, and he looks at the soft factors, the social factors that affect our health and well-being. He talked about mood, emotional factors. His particular expertise is in terms of helping people in their human relationships, specifically in the area of forgiveness. Now, it sounds very soft and mushy, and it is a soft and mushy kind of concept, but it turns out that all these social factors have a huge impact on our health. In fact, it's suspected that they have a larger impact on your health than what you eat. and we spend a tremendous amount of time debating dietary issues, it's time that we do have to try to grapple with these softer matters. It's harder to do specifically because they can't really be measured right now, but it is important. So we did have Fred Luskin in, and you can watch that video in the free series.
All right, I look forward to seeing that one. That sounds really interesting. Let's talk about another hot topic. Let's talk about you mentioned diet, and I note that there are at least a couple, and there might be more video presentations on that subject. We've got Dave Asprey, a guy who's been on this show talking about his bulletproof diet, and then you've also got Brian Delaney talking about calorie restriction. Now, those two ideas wouldn't necessarily go together. So the one thing we probably want to be clear about with Health Activator is you don't necessarily prescribe one set of solutions. There might be more than one approach that is viable for these things. Is that fair?
Well, what we try to, when there is a disagreement, and there is, in fact, a disagreement on diet, what we'd like to do is try to get the best speakers in to present the different viewpoints and see, first of all, let the audience decide. They may want to choose who they think is more correct. And get the two speakers debating each other if possible. And often what I find when there are two experts who disagree, I love to get them together and make them talk to each other back and forth where I can listen. Because
right.
Oftentimes it will be a tremendous help to me to figure out, all right, you know, which one of these really seems to know what he or she is talking about and who's getting defensive and emotional here because they realize they're in over their head, this kind of thing. Now, nobody got in over their head at this. We have very very high level folks who are very good, but I think actually we brought in a third speaker, and the reason I brought him in is I think he was sort of doing a synthesis of the two other speakers' approaches. Dave Asprey's diet is pretty close to the paleo diet, which probably your listeners are familiar with. And, of course, Brian Delaney was presenting the case for calorie restriction, which probably also your listeners are familiar with. But another one of our speakers, Josh Whitten, I specifically invited him because he talks about protein-carb alternation, which is a form of selective fasting in the sense of for a while you eat more protein and less carbs, and then you cut way down on the protein to zero and eat a bit more carbs. And why would this make sense? Well, the reason is two reasons. One is that your body isn't used to having, our bodies aren't evolved for having the exact same ratio of the macronutrients every day. That's not what we evolved for. You know, for a while we would be gathering and then, you know, one of the hunters would bring down a deer and then we'd eat meat. So our bodies are more used to these big swings in macronutrient changes. And the second reason is a bit more scientific in the sense that what we realize now is that there's a process called autophagy, which is where your body recycles molecules that are already inside that are perhaps misfolded or damaged in some way. But if we are never hungry, if we're never low on that macronutrient, whether it's protein or carbs, if we are never low, the body doesn't do this recycling enough. So Josh's idea is, well, we don't like to be hungry, so let's not do that. We can get plenty of calories from fat at all times, but instead what we do is we alternate the protein and the carbs. And if you watch that video in the free series, you'll hear Josh explain it, how to do it, and you can also look it up on his website. And I really think he's onto something there. So I am not a fan of being hungry. It's not fun for me, but I can do this alternation. That way, you get the benefits of we believe that quite a few of the benefits of calorie restriction without having to ever be hungry.
Very interesting. Well, I want to make one comment about calorie restriction to the folks in the chat room because I saw a number of comments about how hard it is, and I just wanted to point out that Brian Delaney's talk is called "It's Not That Hard." calorie restriction, why and how. So if you think it's hard, go ahead and watch the video anyway. But this this alternating carb and protein fast is fascinating to me. I've heard about the importance of protein fasting, but I've not heard of this idea of alternating before. So I'm definitely looking forward to watching that talk and learning about that. And speaking of fasting and speaking of being hungry, that reminds me of another kind of a hot topic. And I wonder if it's addressed, if not in this series, will it be addressed eventually? It might have actually been hit in the calorie restriction talk, which is the practice of intermittent fasting. That seems to be kind of the new hot way to approach dieting, and it seems to have some overlap with calorie restriction, and there seems to be some research that indicates that it might have health benefits around preventing degenerative later in life diseases, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and those kinds of things. Is that a topic that's covered in the free series or one that will be covered in an upcoming conference?
We certainly will be covering it, and it was touched on at the last conference, so you'll find it touched on in the series. I think we need to do more with that. I do want to point out, though, that this protein-carb alternation is a form of intermittent fasting, but what you're doing is you're fasting each macronutrient at a different time.
Right.
Now, that may or may not give the same benefits as a true fast. I don't think we know that yet. Personally, I don't handle hunger very well, so I tend to drift more in the alternation direction. But I know there's a tremendous amount of interest in intermittent fasting, and I think you can definitely make the case that it should be done for those who can do it. So, yeah, definitely a topic we want to cover. Probably, I'm sure it will be coming up in the 2013 series, the online video conference series that starts in early February.
Okay, so that'll be the next conference coming up, is that right?
Right. We're having the next conference in a series of 20 online meetings, two per month for 10 months, and these are video conferences. So that's what the 2013 conference will be. We've kind of unbundled it into 20 separate sessions so that people can do it without having to devote an entire solid weekend at one time.
Well, that's great. Yeah, kind of a intermittent conference, if you will.
More like the World Transformed format, where people come together for a certain amount of time, and then we can all go back to doing what we were doing before.
Yeah, it's great. Provides a lot of flexibility in people's, it recognizes the fact that it's very hard to get a two-day block of time or a three-day block of time to do something. But people can find an hour, right? They can find an hour in the day or they can find an hour in the week to dedicate to an important topic. And that seems like a really good way to go about enabling people to learn more about how to improve their health. I want to mention, because I forgot to mention it at the beginning, listeners, if you go to healthactivator.com and when you go to healthactivator.com and when you sign up for the upcoming online conference, use our special code TRANSFORMED. That's for the World Transformed. That's that's for listeners of this show. Use that code and you're going to get a $50 discount on registration. So everybody make note, the code is TRANSFORMED for signing up for that series. I'm sorry, Stephen, did I cut you off a minute ago? Did you have another question?
Well, I wanted to ask Christine about this substance there's a prescription drug called, Razadine or Razadine, that helps delay memory issues due to aging, but you had a different suggestion as a substitute for that.
It turns out that the exact same molecule is sold over the counter called galantamine, and you can get that online. So you don't need a prescription. You can just go ahead and buy it. It's one of a pretty long list of substances that are supposed to help the brain. It's maybe not our favorite, and I was just listening just now to one of our panels that that will be in the free series, and Stephen Fox had a number of specific suggestions supplements for the brain specifically. So, and galantamine did not make his top 5 or 10 list. So I think galantamine is used by a lot of neurologists for their patients with early memory loss, like mild cognitive impairment. A lot of us are seeing that in our parents at this point and hoping very much not to get it ourselves. And galantamine is something to be aware of, might be worth taking, but I would recommend watching the panel discussions in the free series with Stephen Fowkes and making note of the specific supplements that he is recommending.
One of the shows that will be coming up, the recorded conference sessions on Thursday, January 24th, Exercise for Longevity, Finding Your Personal Optimum, and our buddy Alex Lightman gave that talk. And then I note that there was a panel discussion, so apparently there was some varying views on that. Can you step us through basically what are the major schools of thought on how much exercise we should be getting? Is it in line with what people are typically doing, or is it very different from that?
There's, again, just as with diet, there are significant disagreements, and that was why we had the panel. And probably your listeners will want to make their own judgment call. And the main two schools of thought here are Alex Lightman was presenting what I would call the more exercise, you know, lots of exercise perspective. He is he's
a big-time runner, Alex, right?
He really is.
Yeah.
And that's fine for him. But we had others, for example, Dave Asprey, who was saying, hey, you know, I never work out, and look at my six-pack. So he was making the case that it isn't really necessary to do this huge amount of exercise that Alex is advocating. He was saying, no, you know, 18 minutes, 20 minutes a week should do the job. So very different perspectives. And, you know, if you were to take Alex and Dave and put them side by side and say, all right, who looks healthier? I'm not gonna give that one away, but you know, there's a big difference. So you can see it on the videos.
It's Dave, by the way.
I didn't want to say it, but yes, Dave looks better. So just
for those who've never seen them, okay, it's funny you mentioned that. Not that Alex isn't in fine shape, and he's a big runner, and of course there are different body types and all that kind of thing. But yeah, I think that makes that makes a really good point. And actually, Dave, when he was on the show talking about diet, he mentioned that fact that he hadn't been to a yoga class in like 6 years. And he showed up and did all the things exactly the way he had done them 6 years earlier. And he mentioned that, you know, he's got the six-pack. But I wasn't too impressed by that because, hey, on the radio, we can all have a six-pack. You know what I'm saying? but it's true. When you get two exercise advocates and having to sit next to each other, there is that little bit of visible evidence about what may or may not be working. So is Dave actually saying don't work out or – just exercise for fun, or what's his approach?
Yes, he seemed to be saying it's just not necessary to put in all that time. Now, some of our other speakers were arguing that running marathons actually is not good. You know, this was an area there was true disagreement. Now, Stephen Fowkes, who I think has a pretty balanced view on a lot of things, was saying, hey, look, do what you enjoy. And I think that's another way of saying listen to your body. You know, pay attention to what works for your personal body. And that's more of a quantified self-approach thing. Look, we don't know for sure, but if you pay very close attention to how you feel, your body will tell you what works for you better.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. One of the great advantages of something like the quantified self movement of personalized approach to health is that we get the data on ourselves, and we are all different. I mean, there's a lot of similarity between us, but there's a lot of difference. Some people are much more sensitive to one macronutrient versus another. Some people respond to one kind of training versus versus another kind of training. And I can't help but think that probably there will never be an absolute formula in either diet or exercise, that there's probably always going to be kind of a variety of approaches that that people are going to be taking. I think we're going to learn more about them as we go, and we'll hone those down to two or three really good approaches. But I don't think there's ever going to be one answer.
That seems pretty likely.
Yeah.
I've noticed as I've had a few birthdays that the recovery time it becomes more and more important. The more birthdays I have, it seems like without the time for recovery in between workouts, it's worse than spinning your wheels. You can actually break yourself down. And I guess I would probably lean a little bit away from Alex's side of the argument and a little more towards Dave. So, yeah. But
well,
again, I think it's a matter of taste, or maybe a matter of your body type, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of gears in motion there. Well, I can tell you that I personally am doing some high intensity training that I do with a jump rope. Now, does that get any coverage in the free conference series, or is it something that'll be talked about? Because I know that's another very hot topic, is people doing all this kind of short bursts of very high intensity exercise.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, that was covered both in the at the last conference, the one with the free videos that we're about to show. That was covered there, and it will also be covered in the online conference for the coming year. There's a concept that can be used to describe this, which is hormesis. And this is, I'm going to define it my own way, which is just as we exercise our bodies, we know that you should push yourself closer to the envelope and then back off. And that when you do that, you expand your abilities. It turns out you actually want to do this in multiple dimensions, not just with your muscles, but with other aspects of your body as well, the chemical systems of your body. And I think that could be why the protein-carb alternation may work. You're exercising the different chemical pathways of your body. You don't want to use the same ones all the time. You want to make sure that all the different systems of your body get some exercise. And that includes these chemical systems. And I believe that this is one of the theories of Stephen Fowkes promotes, which is use all, if there's a pathway in your body, use it now and then. So this is sort of a new unifying principle, and we haven't really explored it enough. But I think that the high-intensity training is exactly a case of that, and that was definitely advocated by, for example, Dave Asprey, which is short bursts of either heavy lifting of weights or aerobic sprint-like activity, which I think what you were describing, Phil, probably would count as that.
Yeah, I do. I use a jump rope. Yeah, exactly. It's usually not more than about 25 seconds of just flat out as fast as I can, right? And then I do a few sets of that. And it's phenomenal how you feel after that. I mean, you really, when you push it, you really feel the that kind of wall that you're bumping up against. And it's very interesting to try to push past that limit. And Stephen, I think that's something that you have dabbled with on the weight training side. Is that right?
Absolutely. I have found that when it comes to losing weight, aerobic exercise, I think, is very good for your heart and very good for your pulmonary system, your lungs, and everything. But I just have my doubts about aerobic exercise helping much with weight loss. Whereas I found the exact opposite is true with resistance training, and part of it is that when you with resistance training, you're kind of breaking down your muscles a little bit and allowing them to regrow stronger, and while that's happening, you are burning calories while you are not working out. Whereas when you stop the aerobic exercise, the benefit of, you know, as far as burning calories, stops pretty quick after that too, you know, once you caught your breath. So it, great for your heart and lungs, and I, you know, would not, you know, discourage you, Phil, from what you're doing. But if weight loss is what you're after, I think that perhaps I would advocate throwing a little weight training into it, or maybe sledgehammer training.
Well, sledgehammer training was always so hard on my wrists. I had to finally let that go. Now I'm being warned in the chat room that I shouldn't jump rope because it's going to be hard on my my lumbar discs. But so far I haven't had any trouble with those. But I think, Stephen, I think there's an important difference between the slogging. If I were doing a slow jump for like 45 minutes to try to lose weight, versus what Christine was talking about, the kind of high intensity pushing yourself right to that right to that limit, is partly about fat loss. But I think there are other benefits associated with that as well. Well, we're getting really short on time, and we've got so many of these that we didn't get to. With one left to talk about, let's do something really kind of out there, or seemingly out there and kind of theoretical. I see there's a talk in the free conference series, Christine, about telomeres. Now, is that something that what's the latest evidence on that? Is there something beyond correlation there? Can we now say that there's a causation effect between the length of telomeres and how long we live? And if that's true, is there anything we can do about it?
Well, I think my understanding is it's pretty well agreed that that longer telomeres are necessary if you want to live longer. The question has been, is there anything you can do about it? And I believe that that there are things you can do about it. The first thing is stress related. I think it's gotten to be pretty clear that there's almost nothing you can do that is going to mess up shorten your telomeres faster than stress. So lifestyle factors, and again, these are seem like kind of soft factors, but they matter hugely. And so we really do need to address them. And it's important. Many of us are under a tremendous amount of chronic stress. Things that can make a difference include your commute. How rough is your commute? Many of us have terrible commutes. And just think of that. Twice a day, you're out there for half an hour, an hour, whatever it is, or even longer. In a situation,
a lot of people grinding their teeth, right? You know,
they
spitting,
are.
Cursing.
They are.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're miserable. They're miserable. Yep. So, and that's a huge amount of your life, really. So, you know, you have to think about, all right, I can either move closer to work, get a different job, or find a way somehow to enjoy my commute. And, you know, we ignore these things. We just kind of push our way through them, but if you're interested in longevity and health, you really need to address them. And if you don't, your things like your telomeres will show it. Now, the question, of course, is: are there supplements that help with your telomeres? And one of our speakers, Bill Andrews, is a leader in that space, and he argues absolutely there are. And he takes two different products that he specifically recommends. I have read arguments against this case that taking supplements to lengthen your telomeres makes a difference. But Bill's a pretty smart guy. I would need, you know, what would be great is to get a debate going between these different sides and see who can convince us. Personally, I think Bill's a very bright guy, and I wouldn't want to have to take him on in a debate. So I think it's definitely worth looking into these. These products are not cheap, but the prices are coming down over time. So,
and as people become
specific,
aware of them, the market grows and the price will the price will continue to go down. You know, another thing that's got stress would be meditation, and get that that heart tracking device, and you'll know you're doing it right. So you know you're
cutting
your stress. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, you can do meditation for free, and then for those of us like me who either for whatever reason have trouble maintaining the state you want to be in, having one of these devices to help pull you into that state and help you stay there can be pretty helpful.
Wow. Great stuff. Well, Stephen, we're almost out of time. I'm sorry. Did you have one final question you wanted to ask Christine?
Well, I wanted to ask, and this, I hope this is a fair question, Christine, but, you know, there's obviously the free series and everything, but there's also the opportunity to join as a paid member of health activator.
Yeah.
What is the difference between the enjoying it one way and the other? How much more involved is it? Can you be with a paid membership?
Right. So the free conference series gives you access from between January 19th and 28th to all the videos from our last conference, and that's great fun. There's two things you get if you join as a paid member. One is you can watch the videos, the same set of videos, anytime. You know, they're on demand. But the main benefit is participating in the 2013 series, which are these 20 video conferences over 10 months, where we basically bring on one expert plus a panel and have the expert do a presentation, bring the panel on. The goal is to have everybody on video. Everybody can share their screen. So our hope is to get the kind of intense debates going that really help the audience figure out who knows what they're talking about here, who and what are the real facts, because some of this stuff is pretty controversial. The membership is not so much about watching the earlier videos, although you can do that at your convenience at any time. The main benefit is participating in these 20 video conferences that will be occurring over 2013, and people can see a list of those at Health Activator. We have a list of the speakers.
So everybody go to healthactivator.com, sign up. You can get the free sample. You get this wonderful series of conference videos that you can enjoy. And if you find that this is useful information for you, if this is something that you'd like to incorporate into your life on an ongoing basis, then it's time to think about signing up, becoming a member of healthactivator.com, and don't forget, if you do that, use our special code TRANSFORMED, which is going to give you a $50 discount off that. Well, Christine, we are completely out of time, but we thank you so much for being with us, and we wish you all the best with Health Activator.
Great, Phil. Thank you, and thank you, Stephen, and good luck to everybody in the audience, and may you all have a greatly extended health span.
Fantastic. Thank you, Christine. All right, Stephen, well, normally I would ask you what the music is, but I'm just going to tell you that I believe it's called The Little Things by Greg Johnson. Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. Good. I'm glad I thank you for confirming that with me, and thanks for getting that music for us. Thanks to everyone listening this evening, especially great chat going on in the chat room. Thank you all for being with The World Transformed. We'll be back again next week at the regular time, and until next time, live to see it.
I need a moment to reflect. I know that life is less than perfect. I'll make an effort and I'll try to smile. I'll sit and watch the ocean boil for a while, just a little while. 'Cause so many times we look too far outside ourselves. Life truly out. Let's take a minute for the sun to land. She came 19 million miles just to warm your hands. I hear laughter from the top of the sea.